This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur, and I have another great entrepreneur, the CEO and president of Chicken Salad Chick, over 100 franchises, Scott Devinny.
Dave, nice to see you.
Welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, there's so many different jobs in the world, and franchising, I think, is a great way to be an entrepreneur. You know, it's a stepping stone. Start your own business with a proven model and marketing support. You know, I can't think of a better way if you have a little bit of capital to really learn business. What's your typical, you guys are a fast growing franchise, what's your typical franchisee look like?
It's interesting, I agree with you completely. If you go look at all the International Franchise Association statistics, it's the best way to start a business because you have the support, the brand, and everything that comes with it. So it is a great calculated way to become an entrepreneur and own your own business. Our franchisee is typically a little different than some. So about half of our system is a husband, wife, or some male-female combination. It could be father-daughter, but typically it's a husband-wife.
Is that because the founders were husband and wife?
I think it's a lot of it. You hear the story of Kevin and Stacy, and you think, I want to do something like that. We could be in business together, right? That's what you say to your partner. So about half of our system is husband-wife. 25% is female-only. And then the other 25% is male only. So we have all these ladies. We have some that were former pharmaceutical reps or medical device salespeople or nurses in the ER room. And they are bought into what this is all about. Take care of your people. Take care of the giving heart idea. And so you're going to take care of your team. They're going to go take care of the guests and love on them. And that's, you just need the personality and the willingness to take a little bit of risk. And that's typically what you get.
One of the interesting things is, you know, you guys are owned by financial institution right. or group. And this was a very family-owned business. And with those core values, what I thought was exceptional is even though Eagle took over from Stacy mm-hmm. because Kevin passed away of cancer,
right.
those core values, as I saw and did research on the company, they really didn't change the core values or the business itself. It just gave it more financing and more support.
It's exactly right. What you do, the easiest mistake is to take over a company and do something different than what's happened, right? What got you to the successful point? Eagle's been a great partner because they recognized early on that this is a great business. It's got a great foundation. Let's just keep doing what we do really well. Are there opportunities to tweak and change? Sure, but let's just keep doing what it's doing. Part of that was by design. So let me give you a little bit of the backstory, and I think
Please.
It would help. So Kevin and Stacy started the business in 2008 out of necessity, right? Stacy was recently divorced. She was a stay-at-home mom, needed to find a way to care for the kids. So she ended up making chicken salad out of her home. And as you know, the health department doesn't like for you to do that. So they called and said, no, let's go build a restaurant. So she partnered with Kevin. They started the first restaurant in 2008, and it was gangbusters. I mean, they did 20 pounds of chicken salad the first day, and it sold out in 2 hours. They went back the next day with 40 pounds, and it sold out in 2 hours. So they were off and running. Unfortunately, life circumstances hit, and in 2013, Kevin was diagnosed with cancer, and it was terminal. So they were at a crossroads. What do you do? And I think they said, one, it would be nice to have some capital set aside for the family for the long run. But number two, if Kevin, who's been the president and CEO, and he's not there any longer, and Stacy's having to deal with obviously losing her husband and, you know, dealing with what the pain that causes, they said, you know, let's go find somebody. And they did a pretty good extensive search on who would that partner be. Now, I happened to meet them along the way, and I was selling some Wendy's. I was a Wendy's franchisee, was selling the business and happened to meet him. And one of the first meetings I had with Kevin, we realized that there was some commonality in vision and where we thought the company could go. But more importantly, just the idea of you can tell right away if someone has a similar value that you do. So that was part of what was the secret recipe there, if you will. And then I happened to know the Eagle Merchant guy, so I called them and said, let's partner and do this. And so right away, all we did was say, what is it about Chicken Salad Chick that makes it unique? What's the culture that's been built? What is it? So we didn't do anything different. All we did was define it. We said, let's put a definition around what is our purpose? What is a definition around what are our vision and our mission and things? That was what we did, is just put it on paper and say, this is it. It came to life. And now that culture has so much grown and built over the course of the last 4 years and really back to 10 years that's been really successful.
Yeah, and organizing and repositing that culture, documenting it is a big part for any business,
right.
Let alone to scale. And believe in the kind of laws of attraction that here you have, you know, you met Kevin and Stacy, you had shared values. What do you tell people, let's say that you met Kevin and Stacy and your values weren't aligned with those values, What's your philosophy about moving forward? Even say you really liked the business, but the values weren't the same.
Well, it would have been the other way around. We wouldn't be sitting here because Kevin and Stacy would have said they're not the right fit. So we wouldn't be here, right, for whatever reason.
Yep.
Likewise, if their value was completely different, they saw the vision of having Chicken Salad Chick be much bigger than it is today. But if they had said, you know, we're at 30, there were 32 restaurants a day we closed on the transaction. What if they had said, we don't ever want to go above 30? You know, we like where we are and we don't ever want to grow. Then we would have had a difference of opinion too. So it had to be the perfect scenario when we had that from the investor group with Eagle, from Russ Umphenauer, our chairman, and Kevin and Stacy still being around, because Kevin didn't pass till about 6 months afterwards. So he was able to see the transition. I think it made him feel a little bit better. And then Stacy's still very involved in our business. You know, she is a great spokesperson. People know it and they relate to her story. And so she's still pretty active. She's on the board. And I think that helps keep that continuity too. It's not like we came in and said, oh, there's a new day and time and we're changing everything.
It's interesting today, a lot of people discard or discount values. And I do a lot of business coaching, a lot of business advisory, and with mid-size and large companies even. And it always comes down to someone was ignoring either the red flag, the signals, or just straight seeing past the values and just looking at the dollars. I would say sooner or later, the truth comes out, and the truths are the core values. And as a team, if we don't share values first, whether it's in sports or business, the team eventually will fail.
Sure.
And that's the difference between, you know, the guys who go to the New England Invitational, that Super Bowl every year, is, you know, being around that team for so many years and learning that the core values go all the way from the top
right.
to the concessionaires.
That's right.
One of the philosophies of Chick Salad Chick, which I love, is the idea of team. How do you guys, and it's so hard today with millennials and social media and everything, how do you really instill that team value that I see at every franchise that I've been to of yours, mm-hmm. I read about, there's truly an energy of team first, and that team's gonna take care and service everyone else.
I think the word we use is genuine. You know, if we all just put it on a piece of paper and we just say, here's who we are, and then you live differently than that, it's pretty noticeable. People can tell that. So we do several things. One, I'm a big believer that we do need to put it on paper, but we need to talk about it and talk about why that is. But then you have to live it. So whenever you're out talking about it with people, are you showing that you live the same way that you say you live? Do you say that you live one way and go a different way? I mean, those are two different things. I think most people can tell when you're genuine or when you're not. So that's one thing. And the other thing is just constantly reinforcing it and communicating it. Every time we're out at a grand opening or a store that's been open 5 years, we're talking about, you know, the purpose. Do you know what the purpose is? Do you know why we're here? When we get ready to open doors on a brand new restaurant, that's what we say. We have the opportunity to impact a life that walks through the door. If they had a bad day, they should come in and they should leave with a smile on their face. You have a way to positively impact them. The more we talk about it, the more we then act on it, it shows that we're genuine about it. And I think that really helps.
I'm going to ask you probably the most valuable question for the entrepreneurs. And I love asking someone who has, you know, opened another 82 franchises and planning on opening even more through the year. What do you look for in an entrepreneur? Because it is a selection process.
It is.
And you want to make sure that each of your entrepreneurs are successful. What are those things that you look for? And the reason I ask is that I think when I get the answers from people like you, it's a real key indicator for entrepreneurs that don't want franchises of what qualities are necessary to be successful.
Right. You know, it's a great question. We have such an extensive process in interviewing prospective franchisees. I mean, it starts with our franchise development team. They go out, meet them. They go face to face and they sit down similar to this and say, Do you have similar values? Do you have a purpose? What are you trying to get out of this? If it's just, I want to go build 100 restaurants and I don't really care about your team, then they're not the right fit. But when we find that person that says, look, we've been successful in other businesses, whatever it is, it may have been working for, you know, again, could be a nurse, could be a medical device rep. I've been successful. I've had success. I want to now go impact other people. I want to go out and open a restaurant and go impact lives in my community, my team members. I want to have this person that's been with me for a while, I want to give them a job as a general manager. And so when you find that person that says, I really want to take care of my team, and I might have one restaurant or I might have 10, but I really want to take care of the team, I think that's what separates us a little bit, because we're trying to find the right fit. It's a marriage. I mean, our franchise agreement's 10 years with all these renewal options. You can't go into it and say, I have a bad gut feel about you as a person, but I'm going to enter into a 10-year agreement that I'm going to fight with you for the next 10 years. That doesn't do anybody any good. So that's the main thing we look for, are people that just follow our purpose and values and they really feel it. and you can tell that they're genuine.
A lot of people don't know, they're nervous about franchises, that it takes a huge capital requirement. You know, can you share with us in a ballpark of, you know, financially, what are you looking for from a new franchising?
Well, it is, as we talked about, it's such a, anytime you're going off on your own, it's a risky adventure. But if you can go on a less risky adventure with potentially the same outcome, who wouldn't sign up for that, right? Our typical franchise owner, they need, call it 150 to 160 of liquidity and maybe a $500,000, $600,000 net worth. So it's not like we need multimillionaires to be able to open one of our restaurants. We need to make sure that you have some comfort in ability to
build,
to capitalize it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody needs that. The average cost of our build in our disclosure documents, somewhere between $400,000 and $600,000 to build a store. So some of that can come from cash, some can come from debt. But that, if you think about some of our competitors that are going to buy real estate and it's $2-2.5 million to open a store, you do need deeper pockets. But our business, the way we're set up, you don't have to do that. And that a little bit that by design, right? Kevin and Stacy didn't have restaurant experience and they opened up their first restaurant and they did it well. And we've proven that model over again. You find the right real estate, you put the right team in place and you take care of them. They will traditionally take care of their guests and the business will grow.
How important is real estate in franchising in general? I, you know, from Ray Kroc on, all the studies that I've done, I've owned a franchise myself.
Right.
And, you know, real estate was that component that I always looked at of kind of a lottery ticket, depending on how you deal with it with your franchisor, as well as a key component if you're leasing, you know, of keeping yourself in business through good times,
sure,
economically and bad. How important is real estate in franchising in general?
In any retail.
Yeah.
Not even franchising. In retail in general, real estate is vitally important. For us, it is right up there at the vitally important. But I have a little, what I like to say is we have the soup. And if you think about when you make soup, it's all the recipes at the right time that go into it that make the soup taste what it tastes like. If you miss an ingredient or put an ingredient in the wrong place or not enough of it, it doesn't taste the same. Part of our success is built on several factors. Real estate, location, location, location still holds true today, right? You have to have the right real estate, but that includes not necessarily the visibility, but it includes parking. Do we have ample parking for our guests? Do we have the right visibility? Do we have a drive-through in some cases where we would love to have one? That's part of the secret recipe of that. There's also the, are you getting out in your community? Are you giving samples? Chicken Salad Chick as a brand isn't very well known. So we're still out there, you know, the grassroots effort of taking samples to people, giving it to them, letting them taste it. Now we've got them coming in the restaurant to see what it's all about, then we take care of them. So it's all part of the secret sauce, that you will, or the soup that we like to say.
Yeah, and it comes from great experience and obviously great leaders. You know, we're sitting here at the Masters, and a lot of entrepreneurs, it's funny, used to always say, you know, the biggest question I get is, how do I get a job in sports? Now actually it's, how do I become an influencer, oddly enough,
right.
Which has a component of, you know, business, but, you know, I love to ask from executives like yourself, we're sitting here at the Masters, how does sports relate to your business? You know, because people are looking to get in sports, and I keep telling you, you don't got to be the general manager of the Cubs. You can be involved in sports and own a Chick Salad Chick.
Right. Yeah, and it's becoming more. If you think about influencing with social media, television, cable, Netflix, whatever it is, everything, whether it's a celebrity or sports, has been more involved in everybody's everyday culture. Sports is as much of a part of everyone's life today as it ever has been. And so I think with us, or any business, so if you want to get into sports, there's so many back office jobs with an NFL team or a Major League Baseball team, as you know better than me. I mean, there are just millions of jobs you can have within that industry. Restaurants, because we're a brand and we're trying to partner with other brands, there's always that marketing component. So whether it's managing brands or sports sponsorships or whatever, we can do some of that. We've been involved in some of the colleges, for example, because we happen to be in a lot of college towns, and it's a little more affordable for a company of our size to say, let's go partner up with either this university or this university and say, now what can we do? Now you need someone to manage
Georgia,
that.
Because you're a Georgia guy. And they're an unbelievable football team as well.
Yeah. Go Dogs. So,
yeah,
right, yes.
That's awesome. All right, last question. You're already creating a legacy. You know, I love the fact one of my friends is the first woman franchise in your business and started with a few credit cards and a friend and took huge risks. And as a leader in this space, you know, there's so many great women entrepreneurs, married entrepreneurs, that we need to leave a legacy so that our daughters can feel just as comfortable, just as much opportunity, if not more, to have these types of great opportunities to step into. What legacy, though, do you want to leave personally as a leader in this space?
Well, you having kids, I have kids. Now I feel like we have thousands of kids in our restaurants. It's more about what does the brand do to me. The legacy I need to leave is very little compared to the legacy that the brand needs to leave. So I tell our team all the time, we're trying to help build a brand that will outlive us. So if 40 or 50 years from now, when we're all gone, if Chicken Salad Chick is still around, we will have made such a positive impact on people's lives along the way, whether it's people that were team members or managers that become franchise owners and become successful, or whether they're a franchise owner and they want to do more with their life and they want to give back to charities or things like that. For me, just having a very successful business that says, we're going to treat people the right way. Our purpose is to spread joy, enrich lives, and serve others. And if we can make that stamp all along the way for a brand that outlives me or outlives Stacy or outlives all of our team, then we will have done something right and we've made positive impact.
Yeah, and impact's a key word, because one thing I love about successful franchises is they have a huge impact on the communities that they're in.
Yes.
They provide opportunities for everyone, as well as great service, jobs for the youth. I mean, there's so many ways that franchises are so important to the American culture, especially because as we build good franchises, they end up going global. So you, ironically, have just huge opportunity to have that impact. And I want to congratulate you, because it's people like you that really allow entrepreneurs to thrive and, as a stepping stone or as a life goal, change the world. And I appreciate that. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice words. And somebody who's been in the business, you know it, right?
That's the playbook to success. I got Scott DeVinny and Dave Meltzer here with Entrepreneurs, the playbook.